Thank you, Jesus. This is what we call happy hour right here. Amen. Happiness is the Lord. I was trying to fill myself up on everything else the world was offering. And, you know, I had moments of pseudo happiness and joy and peace. But it always came back to you to bite you, didn't it? Later on, it's like now you owe more than what you got out of it. And the next morning, you're like, oh, I'll never do that again. Next night, the devil gets a hold of you again and back at it again, right? But now we have a new normal. I have a new way of living. I've been set free. I've been born again. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old is gone. The new has come. We have a reason to celebrate and rejoice today because the Lord has come. Hallelujah. He's taken up residence in us. If any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creation. Amen. So we don't have to live out of regret, out of shame, even of dread, but we can live in hope. Amen. For a future that is bright. We know the Lord is with us. And if he's with us, who can be against us? We need to get our eyes above the media, above all the stuff that's being propagated right now to sow doubt and fear and insecurity and worry, and get into God's zone. Amen. Get into his presence. Rest in him. Hallelujah. The Lord invites us into his secret chamber. It's called the secret place of the Most High. And that's where we're going to find comfort, peace. And what kind of peace is that? It's not a peace the world offers. That's based upon our circumstances, our situation. But it's what? A peace that passes all understanding. You can't put it in a test tube and examine, amen. You just have to come to Jesus and experience him because he is our peace. Amen. If you have him, you have everything you have need of that pertains to life and godliness. He will sustain you. He will guard your heart. He will keep you from going insane. Amen. I can speak from personal experience. I'd probably be bouncing off a wall right now from somewhere. It had me in the rubber room if it wasn't for Jesus, but some of you may still think I belong there, but... But you know, I haven't. No, thank you, Nancy. I knew I can get it out of you. But but we have, as we say, a new normal. You know, I used to think, man, those Christians are abnormal. You know, there's something wrong with those people. What are they thinking? You know, they're missing out. Now I know the difference. I was like, wow. Now I know what it was all about. It's all about Jesus. You experience him. You experience what real joy is, real peace. Hallelujah. And being in right standing with God. There's nothing better than that. How many would say it's really good to be able to lay your head down at night and sleep? Amen. And be at rest with no worries? Hallelujah. That's the peace of God. And if you're having trouble sleeping at night, well, just get deeper into God. Amen. Go deeper into his peace, into his love, into who he is. Draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. Amen. And you'll find that the Lord will give his beloved rest, not only for your physical body, but for your soul, most importantly, right? Amen. He'll guard your heart. He'll keep your mind through it all. We've learned to trust in Jesus. We've learned to trust in God through it all. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. Some of you remember that one. You want to sing it? Through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. Andre Crouch goes back a few years. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. Hallelujah. Thank you for coming today. Are you glad you listened to the right voice this morning? You didn't listen to that voice. Come on, you got an extra hour of sleep, right? Devil had a harder time with some folks, I think, you know. Well, I can't use the sleep excuse. Well, you know the old song, excuses. The devil, he'll supply them if from what? Church, you stay away. When people come to know the Lord, the devil always loses. So to keep those folks from going to church, he offers them excuses. Well, a headache Sunday morning and a backache Sunday night. But by work time Monday morning, why, you're feeling quite all right. Well, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, if you're here, whatever you need is today, Jesus is big enough, amen, to handle it. Just cast your cares upon him, first of all. He wants you to find rest in him. You know, the world can really get you stressed out quick. How many have realized that? And especially this year, it's been a nut job year, hasn't it? It's been crazy. But God is our peace. And I'm so glad I have a refuge in him. I don't have to get stoned. I don't have to get drunk, amen, to feel better. I just get close to Jesus, hallelujah. And how many know that he's in perfect peace? Because he is perfect peace. And that's where you're going to find it. Hallelujah. The devil offers you cheap counterfeits. Well, hallelujah. We're going to show a video here in just a few minutes. It's going to be a short clip from a video that I watched that I thought was really, really good. And how many know that November 3rd is this coming Tuesday? And I would hope that by the end of today's message, that if you haven't already, that you would really consider, amen, going out and doing your duty as a United States citizen, as the privilege, amen, really the opportunity to cast a vote. And that you would choose wisely, according to the will of God, that we would make the right choice. So the title of today's message is Making the Right Choice. Go ahead, Judy, if you can find that spot, go ahead and start it now. Just wanted to play this portion of this message. It was very good.
Were these men of God throughout history being too political? 1450 BC, Moses petitioned Pharaoh for the liberty of God's people, even calling down consequences when the king failed to comply. 870 BC, Elijah, in the name of the Lord, he challenged King Ahab and his advisors for their ungodly policies and practices. 29 AD, should John the Baptist have kept quiet rather than confronting King Herod about his immoral lifestyle, even though it cost him his ministry and even his life? 30 AD, when Pilate said to Jesus, "Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you?" Was Jesus too political when he replied, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above"? 31 AD, were Peter and John getting political when they publicly refused to comply with the governing authorities who told them not to preach or teach in the name of Jesus? 54 AD, the Apostle Paul preached the gospel in Ephesus in such a way that it totally disrupted both business and politics in the region. 1775, in early America, would you have joined Pastor Jonas Clark in Lexington, Massachusetts, when he led his church and community to form a militia and face the British in the War for Independence? 1830.
Be holy as God is holy.
How political was Second Great Awakening preacher Charles Finney when he passionately called for an end to slavery from the pulpit? 1954. Was separation of church and state being honored when Dr. George McPherson Dougherty preached a sermon that convinced President Eisenhower to include "under God" in our Pledge of Allegiance? 1963.
I have a dream.
What about the civil disobedience of Baptist minister, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who led civil rights marches, giving his life for the cause? Were all of these men of God being too political, or were they just being biblical?
Guys, we are at a crossroads as a nation, and our very freedoms are at stake. And we've got to get beyond just being emotionally driven and manipulated by emotions. There are people who know how to do that quite well, to get people stirred up and to do crazy things and to react rather than respond in wisdom. I don't know about you, but I've reacted too many times in my own life in the heat of a moment without having thought through a situation, only to regret it later on. And God wants his people to be wise, but God has called us to partner with him in his mission, in obedience. And we have to find our rest in him, guys. Too many today are looking to the government for their peace, for their salvation. And that's exactly what certain people would love, is for you to totally depend upon them so that they can rule over you with an iron fist. And that's the whole agenda here, guys, is that there are certain entities that are setting themselves up to completely enslave not only the population of the United States, but the population of the world. And I was just talking to a brother last night who's a missionary, and he's actually a native to Haiti, but he's a missionary. And how enslaved they are, especially in the Dominican Republic, where he goes sometimes to minister as well. And how, I mean, they got patrols going around, and if they're out on a court playing basketball, and they basically, you know, were going to throw him in the car and drive him off to jail. And his alibi was that he was an American citizen. So once they found that out, they let him go. They just gave him a warning and told him to wear his mask. But you understand, this is where things are going. And there are people that will look for any way they can to control, manipulate, and dominate you. What we're seeing is a great rebellion against authority. Amen. And what we're also seeing is a spirit of witchcraft. Amen. Which is using control, right? Manipulation. It's for the purpose of dominating and controlling the people. And so God is not the author of confusion, right? And God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so in Christ, there's stability. In His will, there is safety. Amen. If we will vote our conscience in accordance with God's will, God's purpose, then we will do well. How many know that living independent of God is a bad mistake? Amen. It is the way of destruction. Anyone who thinks that they don't need God is already deceived in their minds. You see, we're born darkened in our understanding. That's why we need the light of truth to come in and illuminate our understanding, so we can then begin to see what is actually true and what is actually false. What is truth? Truth, again, is reality. What is real? And there are some people that are pretty good stage players. They're pretty good actors and actresses that are on the scene. And they're just playing a role because they're trying to get a vote. Because they basically want power over you, control over you. How many know that a republic is a government that is based upon the word of God, upon God's standard? God is not a cruel taskmaster. God, as a matter of fact, is a God of freedom. We are one nation, right? Under God, indivisible. Now, if we're not under God, then we're going to have what? Division. But in Christ, we're in harmony. It doesn't matter what our skin color is or our national origin. Amen. We're one people under God. And that was the American model from our inception. One nation under God, indivisible with what? Liberty and justice. And justice for all. Hallelujah. And there are those who are trying to take this away from us. And they want to do it through offering you a bribe. They basically want to buy you. We'll give you this if you give us your freedom. Now hear me. Any decision that I make must be based upon the word of God. Amen. My opinion is just that, an opinion. Everybody here has an opinion. And most of us would probably agree that in most cases our opinion is the truth. Right. If I thought it, it's got to be God. It's got to be right. Okay. So everything has to be compared to the standard that God gave us, His word. Amen. Amen. If it's not aligning with this word, guys, sometimes even in charismatic circles, we can just get off on tangents and kind of get off because, you know, we're just looking for an experience so hard and so badly that we're not using discernment anymore. We're not using the word of God to kind of keep that river flowing within the banks of the river. How many know a river can be very productive? Amen. And a real blessing. You know, I mean, I don't know how many of here ever camped beside a river or, you know, cooked hot dogs or whatever, but, you know, fished beside a river. And that's great, amen, as long as the river's flowing where it's supposed to flow. But sometimes there might be a deluge happening a few miles upstream that you're not aware of. And all of a sudden that river can turn into what? A torrent. And it can overflow its banks. Now, it's no longer a blessing. Now it's a disaster. Okay? So are you hearing me? God gives us His Spirit, but He also gives us His Word so that we'll know His voice from all other voices. Amen? We'll be able to identify that's the voice of God because God would not contradict or even go against His own Word. The Spirit always points to Jesus, amen? And Jesus is the Word. So if we stay within the boundaries of what God has already revealed to us, amen, in this book, amen, then we'll know when we need to make a decision that this book doesn't cover in our lives, amen? That we'll know the voice of God. We'll know when the Lord is speaking to us by His Spirit, amen? Because God would not go against His own character, His own nature, His own will, His own Word. Okay, so far? So my hope and prayer is that God's Word, not politics, will be the determining factor for you as you place your vote this election. May the Lord grant each of us, including myself, perfect wisdom so that we will vote according to His will. I know a lot of people have already run to the polls and cast their vote, but they haven't really thought it through sufficiently because people on the campaign trail know how to get people worked up. And so as you just saw in the video, it's pretty clear, amen, even based upon what God's revelation is, His Word, that as Christians, as followers of Jesus, amen, we should be involved in the political system. Not everybody's a politician, but here in America, we all have a vote, amen. We can at least get to the polls and we can vote. And we can do what we can, amen, within our limitations to make a difference. How many know that we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world? Amen. That means that we need to be in the world, amen, and functioning according to the will of God in the world, but we're not of it. But we're supposed to be influencers. We're supposed to influence the world around us, not vice versa. But a lot of Christians today are being influenced by the world rather than the Spirit of God. And so we need to understand God's ways so that we'll be wise and we make right decisions, because how many know that one decision can really mess you up? One wrong decision. And sometimes for life. There's things in my life, I'm sure that you can probably identify maybe one or two of decisions you made that you wish you could go back and change. But too late. The good news is that there's redemption in Jesus. There's forgiveness. There's new beginnings. Amen? And God is able to restore. God is even able to restore that which the devil stole from you. Hallelujah. I know it's because of God's mercy that I'm still sane today. I mean, when I was growing up, my parents literally took me to get my head examined. You ever heard that? You need to get your head examined. So they put me under a CAT scan, man. They said, there's something wrong with this kid. Well, they had to be good reason to think that. I'm not going there telling you about it, but I was kind of a wild child right, growing up. Just to let you know that God can change you, okay? And He can make you into a new creation. Hallelujah. And I'm still a work in progress. How about you? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. If you can survive your teenage years, you're about halfway there sometimes, right? You know? And your kids' teenage years, yes. Thank you. But in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses instructed Israel that there are only two ways, life or death, God's blessing or sure judgment. In Deuteronomy 30 and verse 15, now listen, today I am giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. For I command you this day to love the Lord your God and to keep His commands, decrees, and regulations by walking in His ways. If you do this, you will live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you and the land you are about to enter and occupy. How many know that the land itself suffers because of the sins of the people that live there? Crops can die and dry up. There's droughts and famines and floods and earthquakes and different things as a result, a direct result from the sins of the people. Jesus called his disciples, and he calls us today to make the same decision. That is to choose his path, his will, his way over our own way. Proverbs 3 tells us not to be wise in our own understanding, right? But in all of our ways, depart from evil, fear the Lord, but in all of our ways do what? Acknowledge the Lord. Amen. And he would do what? Direct our path or make our path straight. So if you are studying the Word, if you're looking at the Word of God, you'll discover that God has given you and I freedom. Amen. And I'm glad that I have freedom to choose. How many here are married? If you're married today, in America, we have the freedom to choose a mate. Okay? Some countries, they just decide for you, the arranged marriage thing. And unfortunately, but interesting enough, the arranged marriages often are more successful than the choice marriages because people enter into that arrangement with a different mindset, thinking, well, I'm going to be stuck with this person for life, so I need to learn how to get along. We need to become friends, amen, and learn how to give and take in this situation and find that place, that sweet spot where we can be in harmony. Isn't that the way it is with the Lord and us, amen? We walk together closely with the Lord in obedience, amen, and we do the things that please the Lord and we avoid the things that grieve the Lord, amen, and then you have harmony, peace in your heart with the Lord. Isn't that how it works? Amen. So if you're married today, amen, that's a good thing. But we're cultivating a relationship, and the same thing is true. When we're in right standing with God, when we're willing to obey his voice, he's smarter than we are. You know, love is a choice. You can't love on command. You know, the commandment was there to basically reveal to mankind that they could not love God with all their heart, with all their mind, with all their soul, with all their strength. How can you love a God that you don't know? And how can you know God except by his Spirit? David had a heart after God because he had the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Amen. So he knew the heart of God and he loved the Lord and he was a worshiper of God. And he was a man that was willing to do all of the Father's pleasure, right? But most of the people, they did not know God personally. They only knew the letter. They knew what God required of them. And he commanded them to love him, okay? But again, you cannot love somebody that you don't know, really, except by the love of God. So you can't have real agape or unselfish love except by the love of God. You see, that's what happened to me is all of a sudden before it was everybody else was the problem. And most of the time, I was in it for myself. Amen. That's natural man. Natural man is very self-centered. Can you say amen? I know some of you weren't, but yeah, all of us were born that way. You know, the kids are in the nursery. It doesn't take them long before they're beating each other over the head with a toy or something or trying to take what the other guy's got, right? That's because in our human nature, we're already fallen and we're very selfish, self-centered. Amen? But when the love of God comes, amen, when the Lord comes to dwell within us and his love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, now we can love people. Now we're more considerate. Now we care about others. We care what happens to people more than we ever could naturally because there is natural affection, but then there's the affection of the Spirit. There's the love of man, amen, and then there's the love of God. And what we want is the love of God because it was the love of God that sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. Amen. For God so agapeoed the world that he gave his son. So love is a choice. Hate is also a choice. To obey is a choice. And to disobey is also a choice. So I want to give you a couple things here, guys, to think about. Number one, God is pro law and order. God is a God of order. Hallelujah. In the churches of God as well. There is a structure in the church. Amen. God opposes lawlessness. And that includes, hear me, any law of man that would undermine his word. Civil disobedience sometimes is necessary if man is telling you that you can't do what God commanded you to do. And we need to pray for the power of the Spirit so we'll have boldness to stand up against oppression and tyranny and anyone that would seek, all right, to steal from us our God-given rights to self-defense even. Somebody say amen. God gave you and I charge of ourselves. We can do whatever we want with this body, with our lives. You can live wisely according to the will of God, or you can live foolishly according to your own will. It's your choice. But God doesn't force obedience. Why? Because love is a choice. Love is consensual. When you met your husband, you met your wife, amen, it was consensual. I want to be with this person. I want to spend the rest of my life with this person. You didn't have somebody come up to you and say, you're going to be my girlfriend, whether you like it or not, and you will love me. Did you ever try to make somebody love you? Some people are just not going to, they're just not going to connect with you, and you have to get over it. They're just not right for you. Come on, somebody. Don't be a stalker. Don't be some weirdo. If she's saying no enough times, it means no, all right? Get it. Come on. You know, as you're aware, many of our major American cities are becoming war zones. And many law-abiding citizens, they're living in fear. And many are fleeing, and some permanently. Scores and scores of businesses are shutting down permanently across the nation in the cities where there's such, I don't know, anarchy. Again, God is pro-law and order. God gave civil authority as a means of protecting us because he knows what man is capable of doing if there's no law. Are you hearing me, somebody? Jesus prophesied 2,000 years ago that lawlessness was going to increase in Matthew 24 and verse 10. And then many, it says, will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. This is exactly what's happening. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. The Apostle Paul likewise spoke of the lawlessness that would characterize the last days in 2 Timothy 3:1. He says, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. The word perilous means dangerous, difficult, or fierce. Dangerous, difficult, fierce times will come. Things are going to escalate, guys, because the devil knows he has a short time. And this is a spiritual war that we're actually witnessing. What you see in the natural has roots in the spiritual. God's word instructs us to submit to human authority. In 1 Peter 2:13, therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to the governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. Now hear me. The only time that we don't have to, submit to the governing authorities is when they try to do something outside of the realm of their legitimate authority and their position of power. Or anything that would undermine God's law that supersedes them all. Amen? So as believers, as followers of Jesus, our kingdom also is really not of this world. But for man's sake, we submit ourselves to the governing authorities. Are you hearing me? But whenever the governing authorities in this world contradict or try to undermine what God has told us to do, that's when we must take a stand and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And we've got to take a stand or else we will become a slave. We'll be oppressed. So I'm encouraging everybody to vote for law and order. Don't vote emotionally. But do what's right in God's sight. As Christians, we should vote for those who will honor the God-given rights of our citizens to live safely and securely. How many want to live safely and securely? God is pro-life. God is pro-life. Christians should vote for those who honor the sanctity of life. As a matter of fact, in the Bible, Jesus is referred to in Acts 3:15 as the author of life. I came that you might have life more abundantly. He didn't come to take away life, but to what? Give life. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19. Today, I have given you the choice between life and death. Here it is again, the choice between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. This is God's heart. He wants it to go well for us. Did you know that? Verse 20, you can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. Doing what? Loving the Lord, obeying him, committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. And if you love and obey the Lord, and you will live long in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So as God was speaking to his ancient people, Israel, how many know that the same applies to you and I today, who in Christ are spiritual Israel? Jews and Gentiles brought together in Christ, one new man, okay? And so God's promises to Abraham are also for us today, because Abraham was the father of the faithful, amen? Moses was the lawgiver, amen? But Abraham lived by faith, and the just shall live by faith, and God, amen, will bless those who believe him, who trust him, and those who trust him will submit themselves to him. If you don't really believe God, you're not going to obey him. Somebody say amen. Amen. Tens of millions of innocent American babies have been executed in the womb since the Roe Wade Supreme Court decision legalizing abortion. And I know people can make all kinds of excuses. It's the woman's right to choose and all these things that they say. And you know what? God has given people the right to choose. But there are consequences for your decisions. And any woman that's had an abortion will tell you. And many of them, because of the conscience and the guilt and the shame that's brought on them, sometimes they don't know what else to do except try to justify it and get others to justify it with me so somehow I can feel better about my decisions. They need to understand that there's healing. There's redemption in the Lord. There's forgiveness. Amen. Never to be held up against you again and again. Never to be brought against you anymore. God doesn't hold it against you. We may remember it, but God doesn't. Amen. So understand that. Just trust the Lord. Confess it. Renounce it. Come to him. Let him heal you. Restore you. Amen. God is pro-life. God is pro-church. Christians should vote for those who honor and support our First Amendment right. It's a guarantee of religious freedom in this nation. You know, the American Constitution never said to keep the church out of the public arena. There's a lot of people think, oh, I do my church thing, I do my Jesus thing, and you do your politician thing, okay? No, we are supposed to be influencers in all of society as God's people. Someone say amen. And the devil wants Christians to think that they shouldn't have anything to do with politics. Well, what you're doing is you're giving the enemy the green light to take over. Because we're doing nothing. I don't know how many. It was over 30 million, 35 million, I think it was, Christians didn't vote in 2016. I wonder how different things would have been if they had gotten out to the polls and voted according to God's word. Guys, we're so close right now. I'm praying for God's mercy, for God's intervention. We're so close to losing our country. And even as a church, our very freedoms to assemble like we're doing this morning are at stake right now. Because there are forces that would love to shut us down. And some of them have been using this whole COVID thing to try to shut the church down. The plandemic. Moving right along. As a matter of fact, the First Amendment forbids Congress from making any laws either to establish religion or to prohibit the free exercise of religion. I'm going to read it again. The First Amendment forbids Congress from making any laws either to establish religion or to prohibit the free exercise of religion. Guys, even the Muslims understand the freedoms that they have in this country to assemble and to worship freely. And there are people in Congress, Muslims, that are pushing their Muslim agenda because of the way our Constitution is set up. What are the Christians doing? It's time for the Christians to do what? Wake up. We need to come out of our shells, amen, and be salt and be light, be influences in this world, and count the cost to follow Jesus. We got to quit trying to please man. We need to be pleasing the Lord, amen. The Bible, along with the U.S. Constitution, make it abundantly clear that the government is to keep its hands off the church. Guys, our First Amendment right, which is the law of the land, any governor, any leader in this nation that is not obeying the Constitution is an oath breaker. They are violating their oath of office. They raised their hands and they swore before God to uphold the Constitution and to defend it. Amen? And they do that, they make these vows, and then they go and they do the opposite. Do you understand? God's going to hold them accountable, and the American people should hold them accountable. We get to vote. We get to go to the polls. We can be activated, amen, to go out and do what we can. And certainly we need to pray for America to wake up, that God will move mightily in this nation, that there will be an awakening in this nation, amen, so that we will return to the God of our forefathers, that we would humble ourselves and pray and seek His face and turn from our wicked ways as His people, amen. And then God said, I'll hear from heaven. And I'll forgive your sin and heal your land. That's what we need to do as a church. We need to rise up. And many are, praise God, many are storming heaven right now, amen, on behalf of our nation. And I believe that God is answering many of those prayers right now. There's hope for America. But guys, we've got to wake up and realize the time we're living in. And we cannot be complacent as God's people. We have the right to vote. Let's do it. Amen. Let's vote the word of God. Amen. Jesus paid the ultimate price to save lost men and women and incorporate them into his body. Are we willing to pay the price even for the freedom of others? You know, there are still many good people in this nation that are willing even to lay down their life for their country. That is not nearly the percentage that it used to be, but there are still many good people that care enough about their country, because when they say, I put country first, what they're saying is, I care about the people of this country. It's not a political system. It's the people of this country that people are willing to lay their lives down for. Amen. Too many today are just wanting to live for self. Self-service. What do I get out of it? Well, I don't care what happens 10 years from now. Just give me my free stuff now. We have to be careful, because what's happening is many politicians are eating the children's bread. They're living lavish lifestyles now. They're filling their own coffers, if you will. Because they're thinking, well, 10, 20 years from now, I'm not going to be around, so I'm just going to eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow I die, because they're godless and they don't understand that they're going to go before Almighty God someday. There's coming a day in court for them, a judgment day, amen? And all the secrets of men's hearts are going to be exposed in that day. There will be no secrets. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to get your heart right with God, amen? To confess and renounce your sinful ways, get right with God, because Jesus shed his blood so that we could be cleansed and forgiven, amen? And receive his Holy Spirit and an inheritance in heaven someday. And God's calling America to repent. God's calling the church to repent. Jesus paid the price for our sins. Hallelujah. So we don't have to pay the consequences ourselves. That's what hell is. For the wages of sin is what? Death. Now in Acts chapter 5, the high priests and the Sadducees were furious that the disciples of Jesus were having such influence among the people. So they resented any threat to their exclusive role as religious leaders, and especially despised preaching concerning the bodily resurrection, which they denied. Nothing new under the sun. People are proud. People are looking for positions, for titles, for power, for influence. Are you hearing me, somebody? And if anybody's a threat to my power, they're a threat to me. And so the high priest and the Sadducees, all right, were taking, well, they were playing second fiddle, if you will, to the disciples of Jesus who were functioning in the power of the Holy Spirit, amen, casting out demons, proclaiming the kingdom, and raising the dead. They were moving in the power of God, and the people were flocking, amen, to the disciples of Jesus, hallelujah, because they saw something real. They saw something authentic going on, amen. And these stuffed shirts that were the religious leaders who did not have the power or the Spirit of God in them, amen, they were getting jealous. They were resentful that all of a sudden they're stealing our, what is it, the word? Thunder. Thank you. And you know, the same thing can happen today if we're insecure and we're not maybe where we're supposed to be, or we're trying to get someplace where we think we want to be that God hasn't called us to. Then you have to live in protectionism. You have to get controlling around everybody around you because you don't want anybody taking away your position. Can I suggest to you today that there are people in the pulpit that don't belong in the pulpit today? God calls us, and He puts us where He wants us to be. And we need to understand that's the best place for me to be. Amen? We're supposed to think soberly according to the measure of faith God has given us. Okay. And what happens is when a person puts themselves in a position that God didn't put them in, now they have to protect their territory. Now they have to put everybody else down to build themselves up. They have to belittle other ministries. So that they alone are the ones that have all the truth. Nobody else gets it but me. If you really want to know God, you need to follow after us. When we get into insecurity, we get into control. We get into under a spirit of witchcraft. Why? Because now you're using your soul power to control and manipulate others rather than being led of the Spirit of God and resting in the Lord and knowing that if God puts you there, you're going to be secure in that place. No man can take away what God puts there. Amen. Puts in place. Is this making sense today? And so what happens is we start to compete with one another. Who's going to be top dog? Who's going to be first in the kingdom? Yeah. Well, I'm a little more spiritual than you are. And I have to exaggerate my spirituality so that you are convinced I'm more spiritual than you are. So that I will ascend to a position of control over you. And therefore, feel like somehow I'm somebody important. Wow, am I going somewhere with this? I don't know why I'm doing this today. I've been at this for quite a while now. So we need to trust the Lord and say, God, what can I do for you today? How can I serve your body? How can I serve your people? Amen. And when God puts you in position, amen, then you need to know who you are and you need to be okay in that, all right? But if you put yourself in a place where God didn't put you, now you're going to live in insecurity. You're going to operate out of fear. And fear means control and manipulation. You can see it all the time, guys. There's people that the congregations are so controlled. All right? Because as a minister, I have to admit that there's some people here that know things that I don't know. Oh, yes, I'm not all that. Some of you know things that I don't know. And we're here to learn together. We're here to grow together. Amen. I'm responsible, amen, for what goes on here. But you're God's people. I don't own anybody. And you don't own me. And by the way, I'm not for sale. Well, you don't do what I say. I'm going to withhold my tithe. Well, have a nice life. See you later. Go find somewhere else to give your tithe then. Do you understand We trust in the Lord. We're looking to God, amen, not to man to validate us. I say this a lot, guys, but we need to get our validation from our Heavenly Father. And we need to be okay to be in the place that God told us to be. Amen. Because you'll be rewarded according to your faithfulness to what God told you to do. Not what you think you should do or what others tell you you should do, but what you know God has called you to do. And in that, you're going to have peace. Amen. David said, I'm okay just to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. Amen. That's cool for me. You know, God saw his heart. God saw a little shepherd boy, amen, that was out, you know, working the flocks in the field. Probably smelled like sheep. Says, he's exactly who I need, and he calls him, and he exalts him to the place of being king over Israel, amen? Because he humbled himself, God knew he had somebody he could trust. Same thing is true. If we will humble ourselves, God can exalt us, amen? And when God exalts you and he places you, you don't have to live in protectionism. And you don't have to compete. And you don't have to compare yourself to anybody else. That's why we can celebrate somebody else's gifts. Amen. They have some gifts. Amen. That's good. Because together we're going to grow up. Together we're going to become healthy. We're going to become full. Amen. Together. Hallelujah. Now, when the disciples were before the high priest and the Sadducees. Now, the high priest is like the spokesperson. Okay. In verse 27 of Acts chapter 5, verse 27, and when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, here it is again, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine or your teaching, and intend to bring this man's blood on us. Speaking of Jesus. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said what? We ought to obey God rather than men. So verse 28 again, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? Well, they said not to teach, so I guess we're just not going to teach. No. We ought to obey God rather than men. How could these men stand up against that? Because they were full of the Holy Spirit. Because God had given them boldness. They weren't relying upon human boldness. They were relying upon the power of God. And in the power of God, they had confidence, amen, in their God. And they were able to oppose tyranny. And anyone that would oppose the will of God, they would stand against, amen. Other than that, they would submit to all the ordinances, all the rules, all the other stuff, as long as it did not contradict the will of God. Amen. And there was a situation where they're telling them that you can't preach. You know, we may be facing some in California and other places right now. Amen. There's people that don't want us preaching about Jesus anymore. Or they don't want us preaching about certain subjects. Let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. We need to stand up for Jesus. You know what else God is for? He's for the traditional family. That means marriage between one man and one woman. In the very beginning, Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, what? Male and female, he created them. Verse 28, then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. What did God do? He said, bless them, and what? And multiply. Oh, come on. Amen. It requires a man and a woman to do what? To procreate. That's God's order. All right? Nature itself demonstrates that very clearly. All right? The animals don't have any confusion. Well, once in a while, maybe a dog will, right? But that's a dog. But they ain't reproducing either. Or a frog, is that right? Yeah. Brother, you would know that, but... TMI, right? Yeah. Jeremiah was a bullfrog. But he knew he was, I guess, right? So what was the pattern from the beginning? A father, a mother, and their children. Throughout Scripture. A father, a mother, and children. We call it the traditional family. It's God's order. And whenever we try to step out from under God's rule and under his authority and out from under his order of things, dysfunction is the result. What's happening in our nation today? A lot of the unrest and the things that are going on in the streets. We got young men growing up without any family structure, without any dads in the house, amen, and not understanding who they are. And they're just learning from each other and winging it and trying to figure it out as they go along. And sometimes the devil comes up and he's a smooth tongue, you know, he's a silver tongue devil. And he knows how to say things a certain way to get people all stirred up and thinking that somehow, oh yeah, that sounds about right. And without even checking it out, without thinking through, we impulsively respond in the moment of emotion and do crazy stuff, and people are in jail because they didn't think through. There are consequences. Hallelujah. Guys, if you burn your local store down, well, guess what? You don't have a local store now. Yeah, you got some free stuff, but that free stuff's not going to last forever. What we need is a restoration of the family, a restoration of one man and one woman. Amen. And we need to repent as a nation from all these doctrines of demons. They're trying to mix it all up. You know what the devil does? He perverts everything that God made good. And he perverts it and makes it into something it's not. That's how the devil functions. And we've got children raising children today. They're not being taught at home. They pawn them off to the school and say, well, let the school raise them. They say, okay, we'll raise your kids for you. Oh, yeah. Moving right along. So, fathers being absent, you know. But think about it. It's the breakdown of the traditional family that's at the heart of many of our societal problems today. So we need to vote for candidates who support the traditional family. It's not the culture's place to define truth, by the way. The Word of God is to define our culture. We need to get back to that. America was founded upon the Word of God. Is this a perfect country? Not at all. Were there hypocrites? Yes. Were there people that did things wrong? Yes. But foundationally and fundamentally, we were a nation, amen, that was God-fearing. And the Word of God, the Bible, was our standard of rule and conduct. At the inception of this nation, the pilgrims came over here to escape tyranny so they could have freedom of worship. Amen? And what's happening is they're trying to take it away from us again. And if God's people don't do anything, if we don't rise up, we don't pray, we don't do what we can, we're going to lose our country. We're going to find ourselves back under tyranny again, under oppression. So we can't allow what our society says or dictates or our culture says to define what is true or false. That's man using his own wisdom, his own understanding. And remember, apart from Christ, our minds are darkened. We don't really get it. We think we do. Man, I used to think everybody else was wrong. Until the light came on. Until Christ shone his light into my heart. And he began to reveal to me that I was the problem. Quit blaming everybody else. If you do what's right, you can be an influencer for good. Martin Luther King was an influencer for good, amen? He wasn't out trying to hurt people or anything like that. He said, let's rise up, let's make our voice heard, amen? And let's take our country, amen, back to where it should be. He was a good man, he was a godly man. But some of these that are coming up these days, they're nothing more than Marxists. And they're hiding behind the black agenda. They're using that as the front, but they're not actually for the black people. Because think about what's happening right now. How many would say that in the last 6 months, race relations have improved? No. Now, think back a year. Were we doing much better? Race relations. Yes. What happened? Certain people, the devil got a hold of, and he used them as a voice. And they got on the media, and the media is mostly controlled by these people, and they're propagating this propaganda, and they're deliberately stirring up racial discord. I mean, now people are saying, I used to be able to walk down the street in my neighborhood and feel safe. Now I don't know who to trust. It's sad, but that's what's happening. You know what? As God's people, we're one nation under God, indivisible, with His liberty and justice. You know what has to happen in our nation again? We need to pray for God's justice. We're praying for God's justice against these evil rulers, amen, in high places. You've got Marxists now. They're trying to steal, amen, your money from you because they can spend your money better than you can. So we're going to increase your taxes. You give us your taxes. Give us more taxes and we'll give you free stuff. But what happens when the free stuff runs out? Do you understand? We're at a crossroads right now between capitalism and communism. And if the communists get their way, guys, we're on borrowed time. They're going to destroy the country. And they're going to do it intentionally. Because Satan is behind it. And the spirit of Antichrist is hard at work. Because Satan has got his person that he's going to raise up eventually.
Yeah.
Amen? And we're going to stand in the gap. So what's happening here? God is pro-Israel. God is pro-Israel. Remember, Jesus was born of Jewish kin in the flesh. God said to Israel in Deuteronomy 14, verse 2, "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God, and the Lord has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples who are on the face of the earth." To those who say the nation of Israel is no longer relevant, read Romans chapter 11. Write it down. If you haven't, study it, look at it. In verse 1, Paul said this, "I say then, has God cast away his people? Certainly not. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham and of the tribe of Benjamin." Now listen, God made promises to Abraham and to his seed. Natural Israel has been given that land over there. Amen? And anybody that would try to take that land away is going against what God has given to them. Okay? And so people need to understand, and nations and national leaders need to understand that if you touch God's people, if you touch Israel, you're touching the apple of his eye, and you're going to incur his wrath. His judgment will come upon you. And that's why I'm thankful that we have someone, amen, a president that's willing to stand up, amen, for Israel. I don't know how that's working. His son-in-law is Jewish. And yet the media has him labeled as anti-Semitic. I don't know how that's working out in the family, but how many believe that? How many believe most of what the media tells you? How many believe anything they tell you? All right. Psalms 89:33. "Nevertheless, my loving kindness I will not utterly take from him, nor allow my faithfulness to fail. My covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David." David represents who? Israel. "His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever like the moon, even like the faithful witness in the sky." Now hear this. We have to distinguish between natural Israel, national Israel, and spiritual Israel. This is where the confusion comes in. People lump everything into the church, okay, which is made up of Jews and Gentiles, right? Male, female, bond, free, everybody, amen, in Christ, one new man. But we have to understand that God is also in the natural. He's given Israel certain promises that we should not touch. Now, David, the psalmist, said in Psalms 122:6, to do what? Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. There's a blessing when you pray for Israel. Now, Genesis 12 and 3, God told Abraham, "I will what? Bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you." And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, we don't have time to go into it this morning, but England is an example of that. The British Empire was a very strong world influence at one time. They got over there and they started mingling with God's ancient people in Israel. And it was at that time that God judged England and has reduced them to where they are today. Because they touched his people. Hear me. Bless his people. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Amen. And if you bless them, God said, I'll bless you. So Israel, yeah, does it have faults? Absolutely. But it's still under the protection of the Lord. So we need to be careful not to oppose Israel. And do you know, I believe America is blessed because we bless Israel. God has spared us because of our position in defending Israel. We deserve judgment. But I also believe that God is giving us an opportunity right now across this nation who we're going to serve. We need to make a decision. As for me and my house, no matter what, amen, no matter what, who's in office, we're going to serve the Lord. But I want to encourage you, if you haven't already, to go out and vote according to the word of God. Amen. Because our nation needs God's people to rise up and make a difference. Be salt, be light in this world. Hallelujah. That's what Joshua 24:15 says again. Choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so God is setting before America today life and death, blessings and cursings, heaven and hell, Christ or the destructive path of self-will. Choose life. Though none go with me, I will still follow. I'm not going to follow the crowd. I'm not going to follow the world, the media. I'm going to follow the Lord. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Our victory comes from Him.